Each year, the world witnesses 18 million new cases of cancer. That's like the entire population of the Netherlands receiving this dire diagnosis annually. Pause and ponder the monumental impact of releasing a cancer medication just a month ahead of its time. The myriad lives saved is truly profound.
But where do I have the biggest leverage? It's more than 1 million new cases every month. And you really have the cancer every month, every day is very important for you.
Welcome to Beginner's Mind. I'm your host, Christian Soschner. And today, I'm taking you on an enlightening journey into the mind and mission of Philipp Baske, the force behind NanoTemper. Ready to peer into the next frontier of medical innovation? Let's dive in.
I think we founded the company in 2008, but the whole journey began in 2006. Mm. And I think we had no customer for 3 years. There was nothing worked. What neither customer nor venture capital money.
What kept you going?
We never thought about failing. Yeah. It's a very tough situation, maybe bankrupt the next day. But failure was not in our mind. We had the belief that we have a powerful in our hands. And if it fails, it's because us. Mm. That we don't do it the right way, that we don't try hard enough. So this failure was not in our mind. We were completely convinced that it will work. And this is, I think, what finally convinced the first customer. This was also a founder-based company. And the founder knew our situation. And so we had a connection, and it was, I think they've seen that we fully believe in what we do. Mm-hmm. This is also when I'm a business angel and look at teams, I look at them, if the founders don't believe in the idea, who else should? You have to believe. And if you don't believe in your own idea, I mean, sleep a night over it, but maybe you should stop it.
We have a question from the audience, I see, which I think is quite interesting and funny. So let's get it in the conversation. When are the medicines available for every person that every disease is treatable? What's your guess on that?
Hopefully before it's too late for me. So my mother had cancer and was saved by trastuzumab and herceptin. Mm-hmm. So I'm afraid of getting cancer. So my family has a certain history of cancer cases. And so I'm also afraid of getting cancer. And this is the thing, also one reason why I founded NanoTemper, because I thought, what can I do to improve the situation with cancer? I don't want to be a victim of the fate. And one thing, okay, I can develop a drug, but then it's one drug against one cancer thing. But do I have the biggest leverage? And so it was about tools for the scientists. So there are a lot of clever scientists, thousands, ten thousands of them. If they have better tools, they can develop better drugs faster. So this was, we have around 20,000 users now. Mm-hmm. And if we just think about if we improve the usability of our device in a way that we save the scientists 1 hour per week, we have 50 weeks, 1 hour per week times 20,000 scientists is 1 million hours. And this is a huge leverage, 1 million hours more time to discover new cancer drugs. So, as I said, prediction about the future, especially tough, but I strongly believe that every disease is treatable. And I hope that we will get there and that everyone has access to it. It's very important that people have to access to these drugs and that we get these drugs quicker. Mm-hmm. So every month counts. So, I mean, every year you have 18 million new cancer cases. Every year, so it's like the population of the Netherlands. 18 million. It's more than 1 million new cases every month. Yeah. So every month when we help a company to release a cancer drug 1 month earlier, you can save a lot of lives. And if you are ill and you really have the cancer every month, every day is very important for you. This is also why we push so hard to be quick with our solutions on the market, mm-hmm. because it makes a difference. So I don't know when this will be, but I push really hard that it will be sooner.
I think with HIV, when I remember it right, was a deadly virus back in the 80s, yeah. with a very, very short life expectancy after an infection. Now it looks more like, but correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert here, not me. I'm more from the finance side. Now it's like a manageable disease, and I heard from some scientists that people, when they get the proper treatment, can basically live a normal life and don't infect anybody anymore, which means they can also have kids. And it happened in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010, it's 4 decades. Do you see a similar development for cancer possible? I mean, cancer is still a friend of mine, died 2 years ago from cancer. Do you see that's possible also for cancer to come to the same state like in HIV, that it's a manageable disease and that basically people can live normal lives?
Yeah, I think in leukemia, see also a huge improvement over the last decades. Mm-hmm. So some cancer cases are just no problem more. But it's not only about drugs. So we develop tools for scientists that they develop drugs. It's also about preventing the drug to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at cancer for men, smoking alone is responsible for more cancer cases than all the other things together.
Can we repeat that? So, because I still know people who say smoking is not...
No, if you're a man and you smoke, you stop it. If you want to prevent yourself to get cancer, stop smoking.
And women?
For women, it's also the case, but women's not so predominant in the statistics. There was a recent statistic in last year, and there was that for the risk factors for cancer, for men, the risk smoking imposes is more than all the other risk factors together. For women, the risk is at all smaller because I think they take more care of their health. Mm-hmm. But also smoking was also the biggest risk, but not so dominant as a man. But I stopped smoking. Prevention is the best thing. And the funny thing is, our Munich headquarter is in the former Philip Morris fabrication.
Oh, really?
They produced cigarettes in the fabrication. And now we are in there to fight cancer. This is fate somehow. Funny life.
Yeah. You said 1 million hours. So basically, you help saving time and resources. The one question that I had in my mind when you mentioned that was, I know how much money I need to develop a new therapy. So basically, currently, it's about $3 to $4 billion to develop something from the lab up to the market, roughly, statistics. And also, Jack Scannell in a previous podcast confirmed that he's doing a great research in the efficiency and productivity of drug development processes. But then I thought, I don't know the hours scientists have to work to bring one drug to the market. Just out of curiosity, did you ever count the hours that scientists invest time to develop a new drug?
No, because the teams are different sizes. It's tough. But what we know is we can speed up. So we had the case of a pharma company with one of these new, it was in the ProTech or IDP area. Mm-hmm. Where they struggle to get an assay in early drug discovery, they struggle to get an assay working. They spent, I think, 3 months on it. Then got to know us, they sent us the samples. We didn't know much about the samples, and we got the assay working the next day. So we spent 2 days of work. So they tried for 3 months, and with our tools, it was just 2 days. And now, if you save several months, I mean, not, it's good for the patient, but also if a blockbuster drug, it's more than $1 billion a year. Every month is around $100 million. So if you are 3 months early on the market.
That concludes this insightful clip from my conversation in episode 109 with Philip Baske, the visionary behind NanoTemper. Our deep dive into the realm of biophysical tools and their transformative role in drug discovery merely scratches the surface of our broader discussion. Thank you for sharing this moment with me. If this snippet resonated with you, I genuinely hope you will help amplify its message. For those of you listening on platforms like Spotify or Apple, I'd be truly appreciative of a 5-star review. Your feedback isn't just a source of encouragement for me, it helps others discover and benefit from these discussions. Remember, sharing is pivotal. Whether it's a colleague, a friend, or anyone intrigued by the nuances of biotech, do pass on this episode. It's your support that allows me to converse with industry leaders like Philip, furthering our collective knowledge. Stay tuned for more excerpts and full episodes alike. And as you step into tomorrow, always believe the realms of innovation are vast and every conversation is a step toward a brighter future.